Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno. That's not enough for you? Hey, I'll tell you what, don't worry. Look who else is here as well. We welcome Frank LaBeouf, Ian Dark, and Julien Laurent. Jules, I want to start with you off the back of the conversation we had yesterday. Of course, the Spanish TV show coming out and saying Real Madrid wanted Cristiano Ronaldo back. Ancelotti said, I never said that. We're looking forward. Ronaldo going on Instagram going, oh, I've had enough of all of this. Where do you think we stand come September the 1st and where Cristiano Ronaldo will be playing? Is there any chance he won't be in a Juventus shirt?
I think it's less and less likely, Dan. What is certain for sure, and Cristiano can have all the statement in the world that he wants right now, is that Jorge Mendes, his agent, has tried to, well, it's not tried, offered him to many clubs, whether that's PSG, Manchester City, maybe even back to Real Madrid, despite what Carlo Ancelotti said. Maybe Mendes had that kind of conversation with Florentino Perez, but we know that they tried to get out of Juventus. I think Juventus would have happily opened the door for Ronaldo to go had he want, if he wanted really to go and had they find a club for him. So maybe that's true on Spanish television. Went a bit too far by saying Carlo Ancelotti wants to sign him again. But certainly we know that they tried to get him out of Juventus. And the problem is that no one wanted him really, or no one wanted to take on that kind of contract with Ronaldo at his age. So I think he will stay for the remaining 1 year in his contract and then will be a free agent next summer.
Ali, say you're in charge of Real Madrid.
Uh-huh.
Would you?
Nope. No.
Why not?
No. No. I would not. And because I have to make responsible financial decisions. I know this is surprising for Real Madrid, but make a responsible decision thinking of the future, thinking about what your plans are and what your objectives are in the future. And if indeed it's Kylian Mbappe, or if indeed it's Erling Haaland, if those are the conversations that you're having, then, hey, put your money together for that so that you're making that transition into the rest of your future,
right,
and not thinking about what it was for the last 5 years, for the last decade, whatever it was with Cristiano Ronaldo. To think of Cristiano Ronaldo in Real Madrid and think of that as part of the future of Real Madrid, I think in Real Madrid's from Real Madrid's perspective would be backwards thinking.
Right.
You have to think about what's ahead, and what's ahead is a different story than whatever Ronaldo already wrote for your club.
So we pretty much got Juventus and Cristiano Ronaldo still together. To the next story in Marca that reported that Kylian Mbappe and Erling Haaland will be lining up together come 2022 because they're going to get Mbappe this summer and then Haaland next summer. Jules, is there any possibility of this actually happening?
So I think there might be a chance, but Kylian Mbappe is not going to move this summer. And again, today, someone at PSG at the club said, even if there is a big offer from Real Madrid or anybody else, Manchester United, Manchester City, Liverpool, 150, 100, 120 million, we won't take it. We will not sell him. He is not for sale. We will not sell him. We would rather keep him, and then he goes on a free in a year time. And the club, by the way, is still hoping that maybe he can be convinced of extending his current deal. But they would rather even let him go on a free in a year time than selling him now. They want this Neymar, Mbappe, Messi front three, and it's not now that they're going to sell him. So Real Madrid can try as much as they want. Really, it looks like PSG are adamant that he's not going to go anywhere, and they're not going to open the door. So in a year time, I think again, he'd be free agent if he doesn't extend, and Real Madrid will be top of his list because, as we've always said, this is his dream, and one day, at some point, he will play for them. For Erling Haaland, it's a release clause that kicks on next summer for 75 million euros. From all the sales that we've seen already Real Madrid doing, and Martin Odegaard to Arsenal is the last one for 40 million euros, Real Madrid will have the money to sign Haaland for 75 million euros, plus Mbappe on a free with big wages, signing on fees for Mbappe, big agent commissions for Mino Raiola, all the fathers, no problem. But this summer, Mbappe is a no.
Frank, you are falling down my friends' power rankings as my new best mates now, Pablo Zabaleta and Luis Garcia, and I were discussing Kylian Mbappe and his future, and they both said to me that if they were him, they would go. They would leave PSG this summer, go to Real Madrid, because 12 months is a long time in football. You never know what could happen. I said, yeah, but he gets a year to play with Messi, and they said, it doesn't matter. It's Real Madrid. Which side of the fence do you sit on in this argument?
Well, you shouldn't rely on some friends, you know, who are seeing some crazy stuff like that, you know, at first, you know, because I really think that the really for me, and you really have to be realistic, and it's not because he's French and he plays for the Paris Saint-Germain, but the future, or the brighter future they can find, is most likely will be for Paris Saint-Germain than Real Madrid right now. We don't know where Real Madrid is going right now. We exactly know where Paris Saint-Germain is trying to go, and there is only one other club, or maybe two other clubs with Chelsea, we can go to that bright future, is Manchester City. The others, they're going to struggle. I was told that Real Madrid had 200 million euros to spend. But still, you know, when you see the shape of the team and the squad of Paris Saint-Germain comparing of the end of a cycle kind of squad that you have in Real Madrid, there is no doubt for me that you should stay at Paris Saint-Germain to try to win the Champions League. Next season, it's another season, it's another year from now. But right now, Messi coming in, all the limelights are over there. They are in Paris Saint-Germain. You should stay in Paris Saint-Germain to create that crazy front line that everybody is dreaming about. And I don't see Kylian Mbappe going. Well, that's his life, he does what he wants, but for me, it would be a mistake.
If you're Real Madrid, could you play a bit of poker with this and say, look, come now, Kylian, come to the club that you've always dreamt of playing with, grew up supporting, because next summer there's a big Norwegian guy who we might get.
Okay. I don't play poker, and I wouldn't play poker with this either. Real Madrid, I don't think they're in a position where they can take this sort of chance. Either you have certainty or you don't. And you don't play with millions upon millions upon millions of dollars with uncertainty, because that's how you get into trouble. Just ask Barcelona. If you're Real Madrid, put a plan together. These are the steps that we need to take. And these are the things that we need to do in order to achieve the objectives that we now have set for ourselves. If indeed the goal is to get Kylian Mbappe this summer, have a go. If it doesn't work out, then don't go crazy. Don't go chasing it. Just make sure that then you have a plan B. We didn't get Mbappe. This is what we're doing. This becomes our priority. It's not like you're going to get every player in the world, because let me tell you, the brand of Real Madrid, as important as it is, as significant as it is, has been a little damaged over the last couple of seasons. So has Barcelona's. And so you have to rebuild that brand, rebuild your club, understand what you have available right now, and then once you do all that, then you can play all the poker you want. I don't take this sort of chances when I am essentially gambling on my future. If you're Real Madrid, you're not in a position to gamble, you're in a position to have certainty with your decisions.
Jules, does Erling Haaland know where he's going?
I don't think so. And I think that's right. He has decided to stay as well. He could have pushed for a move this summer. And he's been very happy to stay, work with Marco Rose, work with the players that are with him at Borussia Dortmund. And he knows that, okay, he's not going to be a free agent like Kylian Mbappe or like a Paul Pogba potentially. But 75 million euro close, really close, for Erling Haaland, this is nothing. This is almost like being a free agent kind of thing. Because all the top clubs who want him, they can afford that. They can afford that plus the big wages. Whether we talk City, United, Chelsea, now that Lukaku is less likely, and same for City if they get Kane. But still, you get the idea. So I think he's happy to stay. And next summer, there will be a bidding war for him. And he will be very happy with that. And he'll be able to pick where he wants to go. And that may well be Real Madrid to play with Mbappe. But let's not forget what I was saying the other day on the show. The whole idea for Mbappe is to be the star. He is to be at the center of everything. And if Erling Haaland comes at the same time as him to Real Madrid, there's room for one king. And then the other one will be a prince. And I don't know which one will be who.
The reason I ask whether or not he knows where he's going, Jules, is that if I'm Manchester City, how hard do I really push for Harry Kane? We're hearing reports now 150 million could be the price that would get Daniel Levy negotiating. Why not wait 12 months? You've got a squad that has already won the league last season, made it to the Champions League final. You've added Jack Grealish as well. Why not wait 12 months? Why spend all that money now on Harry Kane at 28 when you get Erling Haaland, of course, a much younger version who will be at the club and become a club legend over, 10, 12, 13 years?
But do you get him? I think this is the question. With Harry Kane, he wants to come. He's pushing for a move. Everything is in place, pretty much, let's say. Okay, you still have to deal with Daniel Levy and Spurs. But this is the story. Yeah, with Erling Haaland, of course you go, it's half the price for someone who's 6 years younger, 7 years younger. But then who knows now, as we've been saying, what Erling Haaland would want to do in a year time? Who knows what Mino Raiola would want him to do, or even Alfie Haaland? And for all we know, City can say, okay, let's forget about Kane this summer, and we go all in on Haaland in 12 months' time. And then in a year time, Haaland says, oh, you know what, City, my dad played for you, and I really want to play for you, but not now. Now I feel like Real Madrid, or I feel like Liverpool, or I feel like, I don't know, wherever he wants to go. And then you've missed out both on Kane right now and on Haaland in a year time. And what do? You still play Ferran Torres as a number nine? So as expensive as Kane is, at least you know that he wants to come, and you know this is doable, and you know you're going to push for it, and it might well happen. For Haaland, in 12 months' time, you don't know, because it's not just be you. Right now with Kane, it's only City. With Haaland, it would be far more than just City. And I think there's the risk that you might not get him in a year time.
Ian Dark's been waiting very patiently. Ian, what do you think?
Well, I think the Harry Kane saga is probably going to go right down to the wire to the deadline day. I don't think anything's really changed, actually, with that situation with Kane. He wants to go. They've had talks behind the scenes. He wasn't in the squad at the weekend. The reason given... reasonable reason. He's not really up to full match sharpness yet after his break. But I think what's going to happen moving forward with this is that we're going to see Tottenham say, not a penny under 150 million. How far will Manchester City go? They're kind of saying now, well, we're losing patience with the whole thing. So we'll see what happens when we get up against the deadline. I think Spurs... I try to play hardball right to the very last minute with it. I've got a feeling that it might go through quite dramatically at the last moment.
What a consummate professional Ian is. His ear falls out halfway through, just keeps going. Ali, you look at this.
Yep.
I'm gambling if I'm City. I'm gambling on Haaland coming in 12 months' time.
I understand exactly what you're saying and where you're coming from. And I just said I don't play poker and I don't gamble into the future. But I'm gambling with you, Dan. If I'm going to spend whatever amount of money and I'm going to get in a bidding war and I'm going to end up spending $150 million anyway for Erling Haaland because of that bidding war that is going to happen, I'd rather spend that money in Haaland than I do on Kane.
But Jules said he might not go. Then you're left with nobody.
I thought you wanted me to gamble. I'm gambling with you. What do you want me to do? We're gambling together.
I'm being the voice of caution now.
No, that's not your role, first of all. Look, if I have a chance at Erling Haaland, I get after Erling Haaland.
Right.
And if that means sacrificing Harry Kane this year, again, I don't think that these are mutually exclusive, but in this scenario that you're putting forth, I'll take Haaland over Kane. I'm thinking the future. I'm thinking 10 years of this rather than a few years of this. So I understand your point. And while I don't like to gamble, in this particular scenario, I'm going after Haaland, even if that means sacrificing Harry Kane.
Frank, are you spinning the wheel?
I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go for Haaland because, you know, as Juice explained, you know, you're sure to be the only one to get Harry Kane. I understand 28 against 22 is maybe, you know, worth to wait a year. But I'm a player. I'm Erling Haaland. I'll say, okay, I'm going to have all the biggest club in the world. What I look at the big picture. I look at the history of each club who can afford me. Real Madrid, Paris Saint-Germain, Manchester City, I don't know, maybe some others. Manchester City, because the grail of all players in the club is to win the Champions League.
Right.
I'm sorry, with all due respect for maybe the best club in the world right now, and with finances, very stable finances, the only club who didn't win the Champions League right now is Manchester City. And we know how hard it is to win the Champions League. So you will go, you will have the tendency to go to history. History is Real Madrid. It's Chelsea. It's Barcelona. It's Bayern Munich. It's Juventus. But it's not right now Paris Saint-Germain or Manchester City. So I don't know. If I'm Manchester City, I say, okay, the guy is not sure to come with us because maybe we didn't win the Champions League. I don't know, because of the history of the club, it's not that good, as good as or as big as the others. I don't play poker. I get Kane. I get Kane because I know he already knows the Premier League. We know what he's worth. We know what he's going to give to us. So I'm gonna buy him.
You wimp.
Just a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest. You can check out the latest edition of Gab and Jules podcast. The new one drops on Thursday. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Welcome to the Camp Nou in Barcelona. Lionel Messi, the messiah, really, of this club. He's no longer around. The pressure is on for Barca, isn't it?
Oh, talk about confidence.
We will see why here. We do. Piqué with the header. Barcelona are in front. The man who took the big pay cut with that first goal of the season. Chipping one into the danger zone and Brathwaite scores! Barcelona tighten their grip. Mr. Pais worked that very well. Goalkeeper drops down and Brathwaite's got another one. Lionel who? Brathwaite across the base of goal and that'll settle it. Barcelona strike and kill the game.
Ian Dark, of course, live at the Camp now for Barcelona's win against Real Sociedad. He's back in England now and joins us. Ian, I thought the most striking thing about being in Barcelona for that game was the lack of sort of a morbid feel amongst the supporters. We kind of went there expecting everyone to be down and dour about Messi. It was never really like that.
No, it wasn't, actually. There were one or two Messi chants early on in the game, but they soon kind of died out. I think the soap opera is going on in the background and some tough questions are being asked about these calamitous finances of the club. But during the game, I think the fans that were there, there were nearly 30,000. They can only have that many. Of course, it holds three times that amount. But those fans, I think, were behind the team and they enjoyed the performance. They still have some great players there. Young Pedri is going to be a superstar, if he's not already. Frankie de Jong, wonderful player. And you've got people like Martin Brathwaite now coming to the party. He hasn't scored for 19 games. Then he gets two. Piqué's taken the pay cut. Others are going to do that as well. So there's a bit of a feel-good factor, but it is only one game. Let's see what they've got when they're asked one or two stiffer questions than Real Sociedad were able to ask them.
I blame social media, Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid social media. Well, because look, everyone's, oh no, La Liga's rubbish now. I'm not going to follow Barcelona. Messi's not there. What's the point? And you forget that this is just such a select few on Twitter or whatever. The real fans, those that have followed Barcelona forever, are still going to go to the Camp Nou, are still going to support their team. And it was evident more than ever, I thought, in that game.
Yes, it was. In particular, in the 10th and 55th minute. So the 10th minute,
of course, there was the conversation throughout the week that there was going to be some sort of Messi chant. And it happened. By the time we got to the 10th minute in the second half, that Messi chant started again. And he hadn't even gotten started when there were people that were booing that chant and were going back to Barça, Barça, Barça. Almost as if to say, look, we know what Messi did here. We know what he meant to this club. We know what he means to this club. But we got to support these guys. And this is about Barcelona. And this is about the club. And this is about the future, the present and the future of this club. Not what has happened up until this point. It's about what happens now and what happens into the future. And the performance of the players showcase that support as well. And what you notice from the players is that they could have chosen to continue to be sort of in the shadows of Lionel Messi and the soap opera Lionel Messi. But instead, what you got from both the fans and the players is, no, we're going to show you. We are Barcelona.
Yep.
We are capable. We are talented. We're going to win games. They won this game against Real Sociedad. Ian makes the point. We'll see how they handle the future. But if indeed this goes on to be a successful season, they'll look back at this start and say, that was an important moment because both the players and the fans took a step forward.
What helped them, of course, Ian, to kind of win over the fans, if you like, was that quick start. And in particular, we saw it in that clip, didn't we? Memphis Depay with that flick after just 90 seconds. It's not bad, is it, for your La Liga debut, for one of the biggest teams in the world, to have that sort of confidence? That's kind of the player they need.
Yeah, it was a great little cameo, that, from Memphis Depay. I thought he spent a bit too much time on the turf, frankly, during that game. But he is going to score goals. The point is, the fans, though they're disillusioned, I think everybody at every club, and it probably will happen with Harry Kane at Tottenham if he goes, they realise in the end, look, we've got to get on with it.
Yeah.
Life goes on. That's just how it is. The Messi saga is sorrowful for them, but I think they knew as well, didn't they, that he was probably going to go in a year or two anyway, because age will catch up even with him. And he's pushing on for 34, so they're just having to cross the bridge a bit sooner than they thought.
Ali, do you want to say lots of nice things about Pedri?
Pedri, I tell you what. It's one thing to watch him on TV, as we do just about every other weekend, but to watch him live, the movement of the ball, but more importantly, the quality of his first touch and how it gets away from pressure with that first touch. It is a lesson to kids out there who play as a midfielder. To watch this kid, he's still a kid. And he's still getting better. His potential, who knows? His ceiling, who knows? But the quality of that first touch, head on a swivel, understanding where the pressure is coming from, he takes that touch away from pressure and finds the open pass. The only thing that I would add to his game to make him a complete player, when there are opportunities for him to actually threaten going to goal, that he takes those opportunities on. He finds a pass, and it's a correct pass, but there are moments in which he could be more aggressive and perhaps more selfish in rewarding some of the good work that he has put together in looking for a shot himself. But the first touch away from pressure by Pedri was outstanding and continues to be outstanding.
Ian, it was my first time at the Camp Nou, and what struck me, where we were and where you were with Maka, you are so high up there. How is that from a commentator's perspective?
Quite difficult, really. But yeah, it's a bit like commentating from a Boeing 747 at times. Not the only ground as well in Spain. You see, people watching these games think that we're in the best seat in the house. It's not always true. But I'm glad to say that both teams' shirts were with very clear numbers. So look, it's a fantastic place to go. It's a wonderful city. The stadium is getting a bit old. It needs a coat of paint. It needs an upgrade. Real Madrid are getting theirs, of course, and that's going to open again soon. So Barca will be under a bit of pressure. But yeah, it's a great place to go and watch football. And yeah, there's no Messi, but it's still Barcelona.
And good to be reunited with Maka, Ian.
Well, I've never really been away because I work with him quite a bit in England as well. And as you know, he never, ever changes. and I keep telling him, if you don't want to be a Barcelona fans to give you a hard time here as an ex-Real Madrid player, you've got to change your looks a bit. Maybe even bring a disguise. The problem is, he still looks like he did when he was playing, doesn't he?
I know. Exactly. Ian, a great set. Thoroughly enjoyable to hear you both on the call. And just a reminder, La Liga continues this weekend. A tougher task for Ronald Koeman's side. It's Athletic Bilbao against Barcelona. Like all of these other games, live on ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Couple of key additions to the Arsenal squad being reported. Martin Odegaard back in North London, of course, spent last year there on loan from Real Madrid. He looks set to join for £34 million. Meanwhile, Aaron Ramsdale making the move from Sheffield United. Frank is gone. Shaka Hislop takes his place. Ian and Jules still with us. Ian, from an Arsenal perspective, would this get you excited?
Not particularly, no. Odegaard was on loan there last season. I don't think he impacted games really enough. He had his moments, for certain. He's a nice player on the ball. He's easy on the eye. But they might have spent £34 million better than that. Ramsdale, the goalkeeper, was in the England squad in the summer. He's an improving young goalkeeper, but he has been relegated in the last two seasons. First of all with Bournemouth, then with Sheffield United, but Arsenal wants him. But what does that say as well? Because a year ago, they had Emi Martinez, great goalkeeper, went off to Villa. They let him go to Villa because they preferred Bernd Leno. Do they not prefer Bernd Leno anymore? Do they want Ramsdale instead? It's a bit of a mess, that.
It is a bit of a mess, Jules, and you're an Arsenal fan.
I mean, there's explanations for both. Odegaard was always the priority as a number 10. They were also linked with Awa, for example, with Maddison at Leicester. But Odegaard was really the one that they wanted. I think they waited for the price to go down, which I guess they did that well, because from around 50, you go down to 34, which I think is a good deal for someone who's 22, who has clearly a lot of talent, and we need to do a bit better than last season. But let's not forget, he arrived last season, Arsenal were 11th in the table. They finished 8th, and I think the second half of the season was much better when he was there than the first half of the season, for example. So I can see why Arteta went for him again. And for Ramsdale, Arteta wanted a very strong second goalkeeper, I guess maybe for competition between Leno and that number two. Ramsdale would be the number two. I think there were others potentially that were also very interesting, like Onana at Ajax, for example, who was much cheaper and with far more experience, especially in big European games. But they went for Ramsdale, for an English player. I can also see why.
Shaka, for fear of facing the wrath of Jan Arge Fjortoft, Odegaard didn't exactly set the world on fire, did he, at Arsenal last season? I felt he went missing in games. He doesn't seem to be the person that Arsenal need to come in and really take control of things.
Well, to answer that, I don't think Arsenal need a person, or I don't think there exists a person that comes in and turns Arsenal's fortunes around. This is a 5 or 6 player deal as far as Arsenal goes and what we've seen from them. But I'm with Jules on this one. I like what I saw from Odegaard. He's young enough and at, what, 35 odd million, that's in today's market, that's not an awful lot of money to spend. And there's a huge upside to this if Odegaard comes in and is more consistent. Given his age, given the talent that he quite clearly has, I think that's one that could work out in, very nicely for Arsenal in the future. I think it's a good signing.
Now, have these signings swayed Ian when it comes to his Premier League predictions? Of course, we're hearing from everyone last week. Ian was swanning around in Barcelona.
Wait a minute. This. Wait a minute. What?
Wow.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
What photo?
Is he sailing? What
Ian's
is he doing?
He's got a bit of almost like a Monaco F1 vibe.
Yeah. Oh.
Look at that.
He just got done playing Hialeah.
Right. You've got Arsenal sixth in the table, Ian. That exciting, but finishing ahead of Spurs.
Well, you do retain the right, I think, to see what the completed squads are when it comes up to the deadline before making a final decision. But somebody press-ganged me into making the predictions, and that's what I'm going with at the moment. I do think Chelsea will have the eye of the tiger about winning the league this year. I wonder about City if they don't get hold of Kane and they're playing with a false number nine again all season. Whether they will quite have the appetite for the league. They've done it in a lot, and maybe the Champions League will become their main focus. So I've got a feeling it might be Chelsea's year.
And, of course, the addition of Lukaku, key in that prediction, Ian.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's a great signing because he's got goals everywhere he's gone. Okay, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer didn't fancy him, and Manchester United made that pretty clear, which is why he exited Old Trafford in the end. But he even got goals, you might remember, when he was at West Bromwich Albion. I think he was 17 that season. So he's going to give them the firepower that they didn't really have last season. They were the eighth top scorers in the Premier League. But I think Lukaku's got a good chance this season of contesting the Golden Boot.
As always, you can check out Extra Time. The boys stay late over on our YouTube channel to answer your tweets. Be sure to check it out. That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you, as always, for watching. Be sure, though, to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Not very professional Extra Time.
Where Dan Thomas features.
No.
So does Ron Burgundy.
Yes, he does indeed. Stay tuned. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Ali Moreno with me in the studio. We also welcome, look at this for a lineup, Shaka Hislop, Ian Dark, and Frank LeBeuf. Frank, I saw you have a selfie with Kylian Mbappe while we were away. Why didn't you have a selfie with Neymar?
Because he was already gone, because he's a very
like
serious
him.
Person,
like
so
him.
He
That's
was
why.
Really at home sleeping. Yeah, all right, okay. That's what you wanted to hear, you know.
For Frank, do you think Chelsea should bench Werner from now on or start him alongside Lukaku? After all, he is their fastest player and can still play the assist.
I don't know Thomas Tuchel is going to do, but... everything's going to change, you know. I don't know. For sure, Lukaku is going to play, and very soon. And what's going to happen to the others? I don't know. You know, nobody has been good enough, you know, to pretend that he can for sure play in any spots in the front line last season, and also the first game of the Premier League. So I know Lukaku is going to be on. Who's going to be next to him? I don't know. Who's going to be benched? I don't know. I'm sure Werner is in trouble right now because he hasn't been given any satisfaction, I would say, to the fans, to the coach, to the club, and I'm pretty sure that soon he's going to be in the bench if he carries on like that.
Shakir, if you have to pick your goalkeeper between De Gea and Dean Henderson for Manchester United this season, who would you go with and why? And would you say it's reasonable to keep both keepers at the club for another season by placing either or on the bench?
I have to say, I was really surprised to see De Gea giving the Northern first game of the season. And for me, that shows that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer sees De Gea as his number one long-term and not Dean Henderson, which again, was a surprise given how they finished up last season, with Henderson being the preferred choice certainly in the league. If I'm Dean Henderson and I'm seeing that, I'm not at all pleased. I'm thinking I need to move on. I think he's good enough to warrant a chance somewhere else. I think they may very well be takers sooner rather than later. So I've got my agent working them phones as we speak.
What's the relevance of that circular thing behind you, Shaq? Over your left shoulder.
Oh, which one? Well, it looks like his hair has exploded.
Yeah, well, it looks like he's got devil horns.
Yeah, he's got horns.
Shaq has got horns.
Yeah, the left one's got horns.
That's a little
West. Yes. But when he comes forward, come forward a little bit, Shaka. There it is. Oh, yeah, the devil himself.
Perfect, yeah. Get a picture.
Oh my God.
It looks like the devil.
He's on camera, Frank. We can turn it to picture.
Oh my God.
Ian, no, but keep it for the souvenir.
Very immature.
Ian, who is the best
teenager?
Who is the best teenager in the world, Ian? Greenwood, Fatty, Pedri, Bellingham, or Saka? And who could be a potential future Ballon d'Or winner?
I'm going for Pedri, that talented group that you just read out there. It's like Xavi said about him in the interview last week. He is insanely good at 18 years of age. The decisions he makes. I worry about burnout a little bit with him because he played 73 games in the last year. And when he came back from the Olympic Games, he was playing in Barcelona's starting 11 4 days later. But he's terrific.
You're going to say Pedri as well, aren't you?
In that list?
Yeah.
And it's not even close. Of that group, not even.
Ansu Fati, no.
Well, Ansu Fati, we'll see what he is after what was a terrible knee injury.
Right.
And speed is part of his game. And you just don't know what a player comes back like after an ACL tear. So for me, it's Pedri. And again, of those names that we just saw there, it's not even close.
Here we go. Let's get to the nitty gritty of extra time. Ian, is this the year Pompey finally get back to the championship after 10 years away? 3 wins from 3 so far, just 43 games to go.
That's just what I was thinking, only 43 games to go. We've been top of that division a couple of times in the last few seasons, as late as January, and still not gone up. So nobody's counting any chickens, but they're playing some quite bright, high tempo kind of stuff, almost like a third tier Leeds United, really. Oh. The way they're going about things. So I'm interested to see how it goes. But I'm never going to count any chickens. This is Pompey.
Frank, have you ever received an offer from a rival club in your career? And did you ever consider making such a move?
Not really.
So, for example, when you're at Marseille, when you're at Marseille and PSG made an offer, would you have made the move? Would you have minded?
No, I wouldn't have to. But when I was playing for Laval, my first club, I almost signed for Paris Saint-Germain. I was 20 years old, and the former chairman, Mr. Borrelli, came to Laval and said, "I want you in the central defense." And he signed Kambouaré. He did very well. Kambouaré has been absolutely fantastic for Paris Saint-Germain. But some people are still upset with the fact that I thought that I could go to Paris Saint-Germain. I would have gone, you know, if I... Not after Marseille, but if I would have picked, you know, Paris, I don't think I would have signed to Marseille after. I think you have to make a choice.
Some people. Who's upset? Some people are still upset.
Yeah, well,
what's upset? No,
Marseille. I want to say Marseille fans can't cope with the fact that I thought that of going to Paris Saint-Germain when I had the chance to. So people are still resentful towards me because I had that thought.
Frank, even post Marseille, if PSG came in, if they offered you enough money, you would have gone, wouldn't you?
Ah.
No, it's why I went to Qatar.
Well,
It's a little bit of Paris Saint-Germain, I guess.
What about you, Shaq?
Nope, never.
No?
Never had that issue.
Would you have?
I don't know. I'm a very loyal guy, Dan.
Oh. He would have gone. What Newcastle big rivals? Sunderland? If they offered you a wedge of cash, Shaq?
Yeah, I don't think I'd have gone to Sunderland.
No?
I don't think I'd have gone to Sunderland.
What about Millwall?
Nah.
No? He says it with a straight face as well, Alan.
Yeah, well, he's the devil.
No, I wouldn't have gone to Millwall.
We've talked a lot about Mbappe's ego clashing with others in the PSG dressing room. Have any of the boys had teammates whose egos clashed with others, and how did it affect how the team played on the field? Shaq, I'm thinking Di Canio. Was that ever an issue?
No, it wasn't.
No.
Di Canio was great in the dressing room, in all honesty. He was a little bit crazy, but everybody loved him in that dressing room. I'm trying to think. I can't think of any kind of personality clashes like that. None springs to mind, and definitely not Di Canio, no. to your suggestion.
What about you, Frank? Did your ego cause issues in the dressing room?
No, I'm a very nice person. You know, I respect everybody. I don't respect you because you don't deserve it, but I respect all others, you know. I wouldn't say ego. I would say more, I don't know, touchy problems, you know. I would say that except Ruud Gullit, all the Dutch that I met and I played with, as Jimmy Frey, SL Bank, you know, Bogard, and some others, the Dutch, they're pretty touchy. So it's not ego because they're very nice people, but you can't really tease them.
They're very nice
people. Yeah, you know, it's funny, but Ruud wasn't like that. And I talked to many friends of mine who know some of them. I'm talking about football players, and they say the same. So I don't know why that about, but they're very touchy.
Good luck with your Instagram DMs, yeah, from the Dutch, Frank, over the next 48 hours.
I don't care. I really, it doesn't bother me at all.
Hi, Ian.
Oh.
Of all the games you've been a commentator, which team players made you go, wow? Thanks.
Well, a lot, really, over the years. I mean, I can go back a long way to watching George Best and Dennis Law and Bobby Charlton play for Manchester United. Their statues are still outside. Wonderful players. But Chris Waddle, you know, it's a long list of players. Gascoigne, fantastic. Brian Robson in a different way as a box-to-box midfield player. And obviously, Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. We're so privileged, really, to have those two playing in the same era. You can argue about which one of them is the best. Doesn't matter, really. They're two great players. So it is a long list. I've got a particular soft spot, really, for midfield playmaker types, languid players, and there are plenty of them around.
Would Frank, here we go. Would Frank,
very touchy,
wear shorts to a fancy restaurant for enough money on a bet? If so, can you add it to the ESPN FC budget for next year? You'd do it for money. You went to Qatar. Frank, you'd do anything.
I don't know where that story will end, you know, with shorts. You know, Dan, you know what? Whatever you want to do with your shorts, you know, do. I'm really fed up with that, really.
Okay.
We should find something else, you know. I don't know. Let's go with the Dutch.
So I'm upset with Dan.
Very touchy people. Very touchy people.
Okay, here we go. This last couple of questions are about food.
Okay.
Shaka, if you had to go back to Trinidad and live off one meal, would it be jerk chicken rooster, curry goat, or oxtail?
Jerk chicken rooster?
No, see, it's jerk chicken, curry goat, or oxtail. Those are just...
Wait. Right, so what's going on here? What's the printout?
Well, it's just because...
Oh, it's an emoji.
Yes, an emoji.
Right, I did, sorry.
Oh, you'll read anything that is in front of you.
Yes,
man.
I know. I am the anchor man.
Anchor man.
Oxtail.
Oh my god. Chicken rooster.
Oh my god.
First of all, yes. those three dishes are more in keeping with Jamaican cuisine.
Oh dear.
Especially the jerk and the oxtail, where
oxtail.
I mean, jerk is Jamaican. But if I had to choose one out of those three, I'd probably go jerk chicken.
Yeah.
I absolutely love jerk chicken. Saying that, you can't go wrong with any one of the three.
What about the jerk chicken rooster? How's that one?
I'm glad you're there. I was so confused. Yep. I was like, what is he talking about?
Right, anything on the auto, Kieran? Hey, I bet that's Salazar coming in and doing that on my script.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, competition.
Exactly.
I can't believe you actually went for it. Cool. Yeah, the ox oxtail.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Ali, it's me. I just read whatever's there. Glad to think about this. Okay, final question. Let's read this carefully. Oh, it's about me. Okay. That's good. Dan, what was your favorite meal while in Spain?
Ali,
we had some good lunches. The great thing about Spain, if you haven't been, is the fact that wherever you go, you're going to get good food.
Yeah.
Pretty much in general. And where we were, which was just by the hotel, there's a little plaza with the church. It was just quintessential kind of Barcelona, away from the beach, away from the tourists. It was fantastic. So top things, we had menu del
dia. Did you go with shorts, by the way?
Of course I went with shorts. And did you go with shorts?
Oh my god. You know, I would have taken the flip flops, you know, and I would have smashed you in the face with that, you know.
Flip flops, the whole shit.
Wonder Frank wore shorts on the pitch, isn't it? Really?
Oh my god, you know, Ian, that guy is no classy whatsoever.
Damn.
Whatever.
Well, for the food that we had, the gazpacho, I love gazpacho. I think it's fantastic. Pimientos de padrón, the pulpo was nice.
The pulpo was
beautiful. Pulpo was good as well, and the jamón. The melon con jamón that we had.
That was delicious.
It was super as well. Very good.
Bellota. Bellota.
Did you call me an idiot? Did you say the otter?
No. Say
the otter. The jamón. The otter. What's that?
No, the bait.
The
ham is called the ham is called bellota. My god, Dan.
Ian, you weren't there really long enough because you only flew in the Saturday night, didn't you? We went to Starbucks.
I'm absolutely ashamed to say that you and I went to a coffee shop. We won't mention because we don't do brand names on the show.
I think I've already said Starbucks.
You just did.
Yeah.
That's about all I had time for. A couple of sandwiches and a coffee. We got there very late the night before and did the game the next day. But
professional.
You're right what you say about Spain, especially the jamón.
Oh, yes. Beautiful. Or the jamón, according to the...
Jamón. Jamón, pork.
Oh, it's a tough life, isn't it? That is it. We are done. Thank you, as always, for watching. We'll be back.
Goodbye.
We'll be back here.